This is Weekend Ag Matters, produced by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network and News Talk 1540 KXEL. Here's your host, farm broadcaster Ken Root.
Hello and welcome to December, the final month of the year. Have you considered the analogy of life being like a quilt, the cross threads of our experiences making up the fabric of our lives? One direction is challenge and conflict, and the other is made of joy and accomplishment. Woven together, they make us stronger. But it's hard to think of the good times when you're doing a difficult job in hot or cold weather, or realizing your business is making you less money than wages at McDonald's. So today, we're going to be more joy and hope, and less doom and gloom. I have very good memories of my childhood on the first Saturday in December, when my father would declare that he was ready to cut a Christmas tree. Now, don't pity me in this story, because the only evergreen trees on our Oklahoma farm were eastern red cedars, scraggly little invasive shrubs that are considered trash trees today. We usually had about 10 on the farm, and most were ruined because the bull would straddle them and scratch his belly. But in 1955, when I was 6, it was a tall green presence in our house that was decorated and would soon have presents under it. Dad had a cross-brace stand that he'd made from a couple of 1x4s, and the tree was so light it would stand with a long nail run through the bottom up into the trunk. Today, about 1/3 of homes have a live Christmas tree. In Iowa, I'd say it's higher. The enterprise of growing evergreen sounds romantic, but it isn't as easy as you might think, and there can be some of that challenge side of the fabric weave included in it. I know this because I spoke with Bob Moles, longtime Christmas tree grower from Wapsie Pines Tree Farm near Fairbank in northeast Iowa. He has some surprising facts about his business, but a great story of how cutting your own Christmas tree is an adventure and a memory that children, like me, will never forget.
Oh, Christmas tree, why were you so expensive?
$37.90. That's more than I spend on presents. For that price, you should be alive.
It appears that Christmas trees make people want to write songs. Some serious, some funny, some parodies, and some stealing melody from another artist.
I sit and watch your needles drop. There's not a lot left on the top. And though it's probably all in vain, I'm sharing some of my Rogaine.
Oh, Christmas tree, did you go anorexic?
Okay, let's get the week that was behind us. Here's Anna Hastert with the real news in agriculture and politics, which appear to be one and the same.
Taking a look at news headlines from the week. The trade war between the U.S. and China has made Argentina the top buyer of U.S. soybeans. Department of Agriculture data shows that 1.3 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans have been inspected for export to Argentina from September 1st through November 22nd. That compares with none in the same year-ago period. China, previously the top buyer of U.S. soy, is seeking purchases elsewhere amid the tit-for-tat trade war with the United States. The Environmental Protection Agency will not reallocate waived biofuel volumes in 2019. The agency denied a request by the corn and ethanol industries to reallocate any biofuel volumes lost to small refinery waivers next year, according to Reuters. Expansion of the waivers, which were unused under the Bush and Obama administrations, threatens demand for corn and corn-based ethanol. The renewable fuel standard requires oil refiners to blend biofuels each year or purchase blending credits. However, the small refiner waivers exempt any refinery that proves complying with the RFS causes them financial strain. An agreement in principle on the Farm Bill brings the legislation closer to completion, with hopes remaining that Congress can finish the bill this year. The so-called Big Four of the Conference Committee announced the agreement Thursday morning. Leaders of the Farm Bill Conference Committee, Senator Pat Roberts and Debbie Stabenow, along with Representatives Mike Conaway and Colin Peterson, now wait for cost estimates from the Congressional Budget Office, along with finalizing language. Bayer Ag has announced it will exit the animal health business. In a press call Thursday, Bayer CEO Werner Baumann announced that the company would sell its animal health unit, along with consumer brands Coppertone and Dr. Scholl's. The move includes the reduction of 12,000 jobs globally. Baumann says the portfolio changes that the decisions were not made necessary by the recent acquisition and certainly not by glyphosate litigation in the United States. That was a look at your news headlines from the week. For more news and market information, visit iowaagnet.com. I'm Anna Hostert reporting.
Markets were watching any sign of a U.S.-China deal and moved in a positive direction, expecting some good news in tonight's meeting. Grain markets finished stronger, especially the nearby going off the board December contract of corn. It was up 6.25 at 366.5. March was up 4.5 at 377.75. In Chicago, January soybeans were up 7.5, finishing at 894.75. March soybeans were an even 7 cents higher at 907.5. The market for crude oil is getting interesting. January was down another 76 cents on Friday afternoon at $50.69. That means the price of gasoline is moving toward, maybe even below, $2 a gallon. The strength of the U.S. dollar added another 500 points on Friday, finishing for December's index at 97.20. Okay, time to pay the light bill. Our featured interview on growing and selling Christmas trees coming up in a moment. It will warm your heart, but a cup of hot cocoa with a shot of Bailey's in it will do much the same thing.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging.
There's never been a better time to finance your rural home with Farm Credit Services of America. Along with our attractive long-term fixed rates and local service, you can save $500 on closing costs when you apply for a country home loan before June 30th this year. So if you're thinking about buying, building, or remodeling a home in the country or in a rural community, don't miss our $500 off closing cost special offer. Learn more by calling 800-884-FARM. Terms apply. Equal housing lender.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
More than ever, it's critical to take advantage of favorable grain prices when you see them, even when your crop is still in the field. You can when you have a thoughtful crop revenue plan with Farm Credit Services of America. Our crop insurance officers have the expertise to deliver a plan that can help you lock in those crop prices, protect your income, and your working capital too. We'll show you how. Learn more by calling Farm Credit Services of America. Agriculture works here.
As you jump into fall harvest, are you thinking safety on the roads with farm machinery? Is your equipment labeled with SMV, slow-moving vehicle emblems? Are all of your lights fully functioning and visible? Is your equipment outlined with reflective tape to the widest points? Are you keeping lights on when you're on the road day and night? Do you always use your turn signals? Do you keep an eye on the cars behind you and pull over to let them pass when it's safe? This message brought to you by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network and this station.
Now, here again is Weekend Ag Matters host, Ken Root.
This is the perfect time to get a Christmas tree. Maybe not the perfect day, but it's Saturday, and that's sometimes your only option. Also, Wapsie Pines Christmas Tree Farm will close for the season tomorrow afternoon. Yes, that's early. And the reason why is summed up by Bob Molds later on in the interview as one of the challenges of Iowa's unusual weather.
Our farm is called Wapsie Pines Tree Farm, named after the Wapsipinicon River, which we are next to, 3.5 miles west of Fairbank, Iowa, and 1/2 mile north.
What was your career in other than Christmas tree farming?
I was actually an engineer, an engineering manager. I worked for John Deere for 35 years.
How did you wind up getting into the Christmas tree business?
Well, it's an interesting story. I had purchased this farm in 1971, and on it is a sand ridge which parallels the Wapsipinicon River, and we could not get crops to grow on it very well. And in addition, we had small children then, and we would take them to Christmas tree farms, and we were just disappointed in the quality of the trees, lack of convenience, and I says, you know, I think I can do better than this. And so in 1980, we started planting Christmas trees. We planted 3,000 the first year.
You said we. Have you had help in this venture?
Oh, yes. My departed wife, who we lost a while back, used to help me. And then the children, we had 4 children, and they helped. And then they had friends in school and high school, and they helped mainly in the tree planting and the selling season. It's nearly a year-round process. We start preparing for planting as soon as the snow is off, and we also do pruning of trees. And then we plant in early April, and once we have planted, we continue pruning. We have to put down herbicides for control of weeds, sometimes spray for other things. We keep our farm mowed all the time to keep the weeds away from the trees. Come late June, early July, that's the time to shake the trees. And we spend a couple of weeks of very, very hard work using machete-like knives to shape our trees and to prune them. And we have to do that to every tree once it's about 2 foot tall every year.
Bob, what kind of trees do you make available to your customers?
We have 6 varieties. We have 3 pines and 3 firs. The pines that are most popular are the Scotch pine and the white pine, and we have a few real long-needled red pines. And then we plant fir trees. We plant a Canaan, C-A-N-A-A-N, which is a Appalachian-sourced balsam. And then we plant Fraser firs, which are by far the most popular. And then we also plant a few concolor firs.
Bob, seriously, are you selling just a tree, or are you selling an experience? I mean, do you allow people to come cut the trees on your farm, or do you bring them to a lot? How do you make it where people get a joy out of buying a tree from you?
Oh, this is a total family experience. They come to our farm, cut their own tree. We have them marked with a price tag stapled on the tree to know which trees are available for sale. We have a lot of help to bring the trees up to our tree shakers and shake them clean, and we wrap them, and we load them for them. And while they're waiting for that, they can go into our warming sheds, a set of buildings that are packed full of wreaths and crafts and tree stands. And on the weekend, Santa Claus is there, and we give out hot chocolate and homemade cookies and fresh peanuts, salted peanuts in the shell. In a good year, we sell about 2,000 trees, and you can expect a minimum of average 4 people for every tree sold. So that's 8,000 people that go through the farm. The way we work our tree farm is we have lanes that go through the tree farm, and so we have the cars drive out in the field, and that helps us with parking to spread the cars across the farm. Then we have all-terrain vehicles pulling carts, and we have 4 of those with our workers on, and they go around and gather up the trees and bring them to our tree shakers, where we shake them and net them, bale them, and have them laying in a pile ready for the customer to pick it up. And we use a 2-part identification tag so they can find their tree. You can normally figure 1 tree for about every 3rd household in Iowa, real tree. Another 1/3 of the households have artificial trees, and the other 1/3 have no tree. In general, that number has been the same for many, many years.
Well, Bob, I hope you have a good season, and I know that you're in the midst of it right now. What is the are the directions, again, to get to your farm, or how's the best way to get in touch and find your place?
Facebook page is really the best, and it has all the information on there, Watsy Pines Tree Farm at Fairbank, Iowa. But I will have to say we are closing for the season this Sunday. We have met our numbers. We couldn't sell as many this year as previous years because we had over 200 7- to 8-foot Canaan fir trees that got drowned out and are dying from the constant rains in September and early October.
You're only open through tomorrow, is that correct?
Yes. So on Sunday afternoon, 5 p.m., we are going to have to close for the season.
Well, that's very unfortunate. So here's another example of this unusual year taking its toll.
Yes, I didn't know that I had that much damage until we went down to start pre-pricing our trees. We put the price tag in the trees, and we noticed that some of them in this one particular area, the needles were shedding and looking not very good. And so looking more carefully, it was pretty clear to me fir trees are very susceptible to water damage. And that particular area had clay underneath it, and the water just stood on the ground for several days. And that's enough to essentially drown a fir tree.
How many years did it take for you to grow those trees?
Oh, 8 to 9 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's quite a loss. You don't have crop insurance, do you?
Nah, it's farming. It's farming. Just happens to be a tree instead of a stalk of corn or beans. But it's just part of the process, and you just have to be able to deal with that. This one hurt us particularly. And the other problem we have is the drought of 2012. We lost a lot of our plantings. So then we had to plant in 2013. And so some of the fields that I was planning on being near ready or ready this year have to wait till next year.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for what you do, making it a wonderful experience for people. And I hope that you can bounce back from this, and next year you're open for a full season.
People have to understand one thing about planting Christmas trees. A good number is you have to plant 2 trees to sell 1. Every tree that grows in the ground does not end up in somebody's house.
This week, Anna spoke with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, who was presented a tree by the Iowa Christmas Tree Growers Association earlier this week. Mike Naig has a way that you can find growers in your area of the state, and lots of good reasons why a family-harvested, fresh-cut tree is worth the time and money.
I tell you, yesterday at the Wallace Building, the Iowa Christmas Tree Growers delivered us a beautiful 15-foot white pine Christmas tree. The lobby just smells wonderful, and you know, my family and I will be headed out this weekend, actually, to cut our tree. We may have to put some raincoats on, but we'll still be out there finding a great Iowa-grown tree. You know, we've got nearly 100 Christmas tree farms across our state, and those farms will sell right around 40,000 Iowa-grown Christmas trees every year. So no shortage of places to go, and it's a great family tradition. And go out and support those local producers and have a little fun while you're at it.
Now, you mentioned that your family is actually going to get a homegrown Christmas tree. Let's talk about some of the things that you look for when purchasing a Christmas tree.
Well, I tell you, one of the things is you always want to make sure that you've got the right size. Those Christmas trees seem to grow when they get inside, it would seem. So that's something I always tell folks is make sure you know exactly how big and how big that space is you'd like the tree to go, and then remember that when you're looking at it outside. But, you know, we just look for something that, you know, fits that space that we're trying to fill. And you know, I go ahead and let our boys pick the one that they like best, and that's the one that we cut down.
And Secretary Nagg, you mentioned that there's 100 Iowa tree farms here. Where can people go to find more information about these farms and some of their hours of service?
You bet. So the best way to do that, visit the Iowa Christmas Tree Growers Association website. They've got a database there you can click on and put your address in, and it'll pull up tree farms in your area. And that's iowachristmastrees.com. Thinking about Christmas, encourage folks to slow down, remember the reason for the season, and enjoy time with friends and family.
Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagg. In our next segment, Dustin and I will talk politics. Will there be a farm bill before Christmas? You're listening to Weekend Ag Matters on KXEL AM 1540 or on our new podcast that you can subscribe to on podbean.com or sign up on iTunes. Yes, I too thought a pod grew on a soybean plant and not on the internet.
Now, here again is Weekend Ag Matters host, Ken Root.
Welcome back on the first day of December to our weekend show. If you have any comments about the show, you can send me an email, kenroot@gmail.com. Dustin Hoffman, you have been following what's going on with the 2018, we hope, Farm Bill. Where are we right now as far as the end of this week in the conference committee?
Well, the word came out on Thursday morning that the four principals, the big four, Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts, Ranking Member Debbie Stabenow, House Ag Committee Chair Mike Conaway, and Ranking Member Colin Peterson had reached an agreement in principle on a 2018 Farm Bill.
What were the last hang-ups on this bill? I mean, we know early on that they were fighting over whether that the Republicans were going to keep this welfare to work in the House bill and merge it into the full bill. But was there anything else at the last that held it up?
You know, at the last minute, the way it sounds was a few forestry issues that needed to be worked out. It came from, I believe, the president and also the Secretary of Ag and Secretary of the Interior wanting to do some forestry things with logging provisions. And that was opposed, I know, earlier by the Democrats and the environmental groups. And Trump also, President Trump also said that there was $500 million in the Farm Bill for fire suppression. But there was still some disagreement on forestry. And I know Colin Peterson had been quoted as saying that this was getting to be too much to put into a farm bill and that it wasn't going to happen. And so we don't have exact details of what was agreed to and what did come out as of this time. But as of right now, that was the last major hangup was forestry.
We are in the last session of this year. Many call it the lame duck session because there are people in both House and the Senate that won't be there in the coming year. Do you think they have an incentive to pass this bill or delay it into 2019 and in effect start over?
You know, it all depends on their moods, I would guess. You know, you're going to have some people that, you know, maybe are going to be bitter or are going to vote what they consider their conscience. Because they aren't going to be coming back in January. But, you know, you also had a fact that the Democrats were opposed to the first version of the bill with the SNAP work requirements. But when I talked to Nancy Pelosi earlier this summer in Polk City, she made the comment that if Colin Peterson brings him a deal that he says is good, that she'll be able to rally the party behind that and take him at his word, that she has faith in him to come up with something. And, you know, he's proposed now to be the House Ag Committee Chairman in the next Congress. And so we know that if she's the next speaker, she does put a lot of stock in what he brings to her and what he tells her about agriculture. But, you know, it could be Republicans or even Democrats who are losing their seats that may vote against the party wishes or may vote however they want. And it's just really hard to tell, but I would think without the SNAP work requirements in there that there's going to be a better chance of getting House Democratic support, and we know that was going to be the big sticking point if it came to the Senate.
You and I both have watched Peterson for quite some number of years, and you know him well from your background in Minnesota. Colin Peterson, as chairman of the House Ag Committee, we could do a lot worse.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Colin Peterson, as in the time I've known him, he's always been, he's known in Congress as being one of the straightest shooters. I mean, he's going to tell you what he thinks, and he's going to tell you whether he likes it or not. I mean, you look at him saying right before the election and even after the elections that, you know, even if the Democrats were to take the House, and we know they did, that he didn't want to have to go back and start the farm bill over, which, you know, the Democrats could get what they want. He doesn't want to go through that work again because he doesn't want to put farmers through that level of uncertainty for another year.
Dustin Hoffman, you're going to keep following this. We'll have it on our website and our reports. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Ken.
And that concludes our half hour for today. Have a great day. Get out there and make some memories. For Dustin Hoffman, Anna Hastert, Emery Clavin, I'm Ken Root on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.